You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Thursday, we finally have a breakthrough of sorts in the Carmelo Anthony trade negotiations that have drug on for now over a month, well into month two right now. And courtesy of Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, the report is that the Knicks and Rockets have reengaged on trade talks involving Carmelo Anthony. Woj is steadfast in saying that Carmelo will only waive his no-trade clause for Houston. Of course, Woj notes that the problems that existed the first go-around are still there in the sense that the Knicks do not want Ryan Anderson, and it says the Rockets have begun canvassing third-team trade partners to construct a deal. And there's another part of it in which Woj reports the Knicks remain willing to start training camp with Anthony, and he says that there is a scenario where the Rockets and Anthony remain patient that a deal could have to wait until the regular season. So that's the new report this afternoon. And I know in some ways it seems similar to what we knew going in. However, I do think it's more significant than a lot of folks on Twitter seem to be taking it at the moment. And in this podcast, I'm going to try to explain why. First things first, folks, it is extremely significant that the two sides have reengaged. Other than a few things from Burt Steele and random anonymous message board posters here and there, there has been nothing concrete since July 13th, almost a month ago, when the Knicks hit the temporary pause button, that the two sides have been in discussions. Now, as I was told from people on the Rockets side and also talking to a few people that are familiar with New York, both teams were patient. They believed it would come back to the table later in the summer. But no one, and I was under this impression either, was confidently reporting that the two sides were having dialogue. In fact, from everything I could tell, dialogue had essentially been shut off since that July 13th pause, which took everyone around the deal, including the Rockets, by surprise. So the fact that the sides are talking again, that is very good news. Even if the hurdles are there, just the fact that the Knicks have reengaged, that in and of itself tells you that they have a sense of urgency to get this deal done before the season. Because if they were truly willing to wait until the season, there's no need to confirm that they've reengaged. There's no need to reengage at all. If you are truly comfortable with Carmelo Anthony on your roster, unless you get a better return than Ryan Anderson or whatever is possible in these 3 and 14 versions, then you don't need to do anything. You need to wait for the Rockets or someone around the league to come back to you. So the fact that they are talking again, that shows you the sense of urgency that's there. And of course, I've been saying that for a while, and a lot of folks connected to this deal have said that that's logically what's going to happen at some point before training camp in mid to late September. But this is the first concrete report that it has actually happened. So even if the dynamics are similar, that the Knicks want more than Ryan Anderson, or essentially they want Ryan to go to a third or fourth team and get something else, even if the dynamics are similar, the fact that the Knicks have reengaged, that in and of itself is very significant because it shows you their mindset right now. Now, I know there's a line in the story about the potential for both Houston and New York to wait until during the season to do a deal. I don't see that as viable for a lot of reasons. First, as I've reported for a month now, there's so much to lose for the Knicks if they go into the season with Carmelo Anthony. Everything from a chemistry standpoint, the angle that he could potentially go nuclear if, in fact, the Knicks did say that they were going to trade him to Houston, as has been reported by a lot of people, most notably Jay Sports up in New York. If those things are accurate, there's a lot that the Knicks have to lose. There's also just the fact that they are prioritizing the development of their young players, and you have a guy who's going to be casting a huge shadow over your entire organization. He's going to be taking shot attempts. He's going to be taking usage. If you want to develop Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., having Carmelo Anthony and his on-again, off-again trade saga hanging over the franchise every day is not really the way to do it. So the Knicks, there's a reason for them to move on sooner rather than later. Now, there are some scenarios where waiting until December makes sense, but this isn't one of them. The reason you hear teams saying wait until the season, it really means usually wait until, say, December 15th. And the reason that date is important, December 15th is when free agents signed over the summer can then be traded. And so, in theory, it opens up a lot more trade possibilities. I don't really see that being the case here. I could see it being the case with Cleveland and Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving is such a desirable commodity that it's going to open up it theoretically could open up a lot more players because so many people would be willing to deal for Kyrie Irving that, yeah, maybe it does make sense if you're trading a star and you have full leverage to wait until December 15th and maybe the market expands more. That doesn't really fit here because, A, Carmelo has a no-trade clause, so that diminishes his market significantly from the jump, and the Knicks know that. And beyond that, if they're committed to doing a deal with the Rockets, that December 15th date doesn't really mean that much. Other than Chris Paul, who is obviously off the table and not going to be a part of discussions for so many ridiculously obvious reasons, besides Chris, the only free agent the Rockets have of impact is PJ Tucker. And I don't see PJ Tucker either A, being a fit for the Knicks at his age, now in his 30s, or B, the gap in the deal being to where PJ Tucker, nice player, don't get me wrong, but a role player in his 30s, I don't see that being the type of deal where you say, well, if we're the Knicks, if we get PJ Tucker, then that changes everything. I don't think going through this saga for 3 months, really 3 months, because it would start in mid-September in training camp, is worth it if the upside is PJ Tucker or even Tarik Black, Luke Bob Mute, anyone the Rockets signed this offseason. I don't really see that being the case. And even looking beyond the Rockets, if you want to look at it from the standpoint of 3 and 14 deals, Ryan Anderson's value is not going to significantly change between now and December 15th or any point during the season. Ryan, at $20 million a year, he's not going to be seen as a particularly positive asset. So players that were signed this summer, they're generally signed for a reason. Teams are excited about them. And this summer, so many of the deal, I would say the vast majority, Tim Hardaway Jr. being about the only exception, so many of the deals were for a net positive in terms of contract value because with the salary cap coming lower than expected and flattening out next year, a lot of the deals, we've discussed this the last few weeks, have come in much lower than the consensus expectation heading into July. So what that means is, why would a player that was signed in July, why would a team want to trade them in a deal for Ryan Anderson? That is incredibly unlikely, and I think the Rockets, the Knicks, everyone around this deal knows that. Again, you waiting until the season, that scenario makes sense if you're dealing a Kyrie Irving, someone of that level, because in theory, yeah, the offers could get better once December 15th gets here and you have a lot more flexibility to deal players. But in this case, the Rockets don't really have anything more to trade. What little they do doesn't really seem like a great fit for the Knicks. PJ, in addition to the reasons I described earlier, he's also a long-term financial commitment, which they've said they don't want. So there's not really a fit from the Rockets that becomes available during the year. And then around the league, it doesn't make any sense for why a team would trade for Ryan Anderson during the season but wouldn't now. Because the guys they signed this summer, spoiler alert, most teams sign them for a reason because they see them as a fit and they're pretty excited about them. And Ryan Anderson at $20 million a year for 3 more years is not seen as a particularly positive asset. So the idea that the season's going to get here and all of a sudden someone might see Ryan as much more of a commodity, that's silly. Ryan is who he is at this point, and the market for him is not going to get appreciably better. The market for Carmelo is also not going to get better, especially when you consider the no-trade clause. So to me, that report about waiting until December, that's classic leveraging. If you followed baseball, I'll point out an example right before the trade deadline on July 31st. You had reports that the Yankees and A's, when they were negotiating for weeks about Sonny Gray, there was a report that Oakland was willing to hold Sonny until the offseason if they didn't get the deal they wanted. That's just something you say. Ultimately, the deal got done. Unless it is literally the drop-dead date, and in sports it rarely is, you can almost always say something, unless it's a signing in early July and it's a sign-and-trade or truly nothing, and even then you can say, well, we have the benefits of cap space and we just let the guy leave for nothing in return. Unless it's a scenario like that, even that's a stretch, there's not really ever a hard deadline. There's always something else that's theoretically possible. So in this case, when both teams are clearly not all the way satisfied and the other thinks they're going to wait it out, the Knicks think if they can wait out the Rockets, that the Rockets might panic because they want to please Chris Paul and James Harden and give more assets of their own. The Rockets, of course, think that the Knicks, the closer they get to training camp, are going to blink and just take whatever they have to because they don't want to proceed to camp with Carmelo on their roster. And in this case, it's one or probably both teams that are just offering a general reminder that, hey, Nothing has to happen. We can wait, and it's not going to be the end of the world. The Rockets, they're fine because they have probably the second best roster in the NBA right now. And the Knicks, they're saying they're fine because they're still putting out the perception that Carmelo could theoretically leave. They could have cap savings after the year, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of it being likely to happen, it depends on if there's actually any tangible benefits for one of the sides to do that. I don't really believe it exists for the Knicks, as I've said before, because I don't expect Carmelo to opt out in this current cap environment. So I think they really need to move on from him. And if it's going to be during the season or before, well, unless there's some clear benefit to it being during the season, then you might as well just do it before and save yourself the drama, the stress, everything else. And ultimately, that's what I've said is going to happen for a while, that I've maintained that this deal gets done before September 15th, before the teams report to training camp. And I think after today's leak, that is more likely than ever. Yes, I recognize the paragraph in the link that says that both the Knicks and the Rockets realize this could take until during the season. However, I don't particularly buy it. To me, that is classic negotiating through the media, just reminding gently that, hey, we don't have to do a deal. And as I use the baseball example, Sonny Gray, the Yankees, the A's, that was the exact template. Oh yeah, we can wait. And before you know it, in a day or two, a deal gets done. So folks, you can't take these stories literally. There's a lot of agendas at play. I think that's one of them, both sides gently telling the other that yes, we're willing to wait it out if it's not on our terms. I also think part of it, a leak like this to Woj, the god of all basketball reporting, is essentially making an announcement to the league that, hey, if you want in on this, you need to contact us, the Rockets, the Knicks, whoever, and try to get in. Make your best offer. But big picture, I do think this is very positive for the Rockets because it shows that the Knicks do have a sense of urgency to get a deal done. That's a big deal because the sides, to my knowledge, after July 13th, had really not been in discussions. So this is a key development, and despite the line about how, yeah, they could wait until the season, folks, actions speak louder than words. And in this case, the action is that the Knicks have come back to the table. If the Knicks really were just content to keep Carmelo unless the deal were substantially better, then there's no reason for the Knicks to do that. If they're truly willing and content to keep Carmelo and they think they can have the cap space, then why do they need to do this at all? The onus is on the Rockets to try and make something happen. Whereas with this, with the sides re-engaging, it's pretty telling that while the Knicks may not be willing to take any deal, they do have a sense of urgency. That's a key component of this. The other part, of course, now I've said it for a while, but it seems like every week there's some new rumor, Portland, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, this week New Orleans, of some team potentially believing that over time they can wear Carmelo down and get him to expand his list. And this firmly pushes back. Woj reports that Anthony remains steadfast that he only plans to waive his no-trade clause to the Rockets and refuses to expand his list to include possible destinations. So as I've said for a while, this is something that if you're the Knicks, you reap what you sow. And I realize it's uncomfortable, but you're the ones that gave him the no-trade clause. And when you give players a full no-trade clause, you can't reasonably expect to trade them because this is what anyone would do if they have that clause. The reality, most players don't have the clause because teams around the league recognize how prohibitive it is. So that's not Carmelo being a bad guy, and he has no real reason to open up his list. That's how powerful these things are. That's why it was such a mistake for Phil Jackson to give one to Carmelo, who even at his peak, while he was a very good player, I wouldn't call him a transcendent, the type of LeBron James player that's worthy of a no-trade clause. And so because of that, there are going to be scenarios where it makes sense to deal him. And if you give out that kind of clause, you are completely hamstringing your franchise. And I know it sucks if you're the Knicks, but folks, at some points, you just have to take your medicine. And this is one of those, Phil Jackson made a mistake. I recognize that Scott Perry, the Knicks' new GM, their front office, they may not like it, but sometimes you have to take a short-term loss to move forward, and that's probably where we're at. So in closing, my initial thoughts, largely very positive. I know some are saying, well, what's really new? You're still trying to find a home for Ryan. And without that, the Knicks aren't really willing to come to the table. And I know there's even a line about waiting until the season. Folks, again, actions over words. The Knicks re-engaging the Rockets, it makes it more clear than ever that, yes, they do want and need to get a deal done by training camp. Now, will that happen soon? Will it happen in the next few days? Or will they kind of hit pause again until September? That remains to be seen. There's no concrete timeline established here, but for them to come back to the table, that's pretty telling. And then, as I discussed just a few moments ago, there's not really a scenario where it makes sense for this deal to be more palatable for either side during the season relative to today. There are some players, Kyrie Irving, true stars with a true market, then yeah, maybe you do want to wait, and then you could have some players that were signed earlier this offseason become available starting December 15th. But that's not really going to be the case in this deal, because Carmelo holds all the cards with a no-trade clause. The Rockets don't really have assets becoming available during the season that are going to appeal to the Knicks. And Ryan Anderson, with his contract limitations, it's not like a team that signed players this summer is going to be so over the moon about Ryan that all of a sudden they see Ryan as a superior asset to whoever they signed this summer in a generally much lower and weaker cap environment, thus a more valuable deal. So when you look at the particulars of this deal, there's just no real benefit to waiting until during the season. Now, they have to say that's a possibility because both sides, and especially the Knicks, want to point out that, hey, we can wait you out. We don't have to do a deal. So, yes, that's something you say to make it clear to the league, to the other team, everyone involved, that you're not desperate. But the reality, again, actions over words. Look at the dynamics of the deal here and think about if that actually makes sense. And I don't see one scenario for the Knicks where, unless Carmelo expands his list, and it seems he's unwilling to do that, there's no scenario where they get a better deal by waiting until during the season. Quite frankly, that just seems like an empty threat to try and wrangle every last bit of leverage they have in the short term to potentially get the Rockets to maybe give up a little bit more in this potential deal. So with that said, I will leave things right there. Again, this is Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter, at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. And that's our Carmelo episode update for today. I want to make this just about Carmelo because I know a lot of y'all want to get my take on it and hear where we are at this particular point in time. So that's where I think we are on this Thursday, August 10th. That's not the only news happening in Rockets land. The schedule is getting released slowly but surely. The marquee games this afternoon, opening week, Christmas, that sort of thing, those are coming out. The full schedule, it sounds like either tomorrow or within the next few days. So we are going to have another podcast some point this weekend discussing the schedule a little bit more as we continue to learn that. Rockets are very much in the spotlight, as one might expect, in Golden State on ring night and in Oklahoma City on Christmas night. So the Rockets, you have James Harden and Chris Paul. You're going to be one of the league's most desirable teams, probably Carmelo Anthony as well. And so what little we've seen from the schedule certainly reflects the level of contender the Rockets should be this upcoming season. But again, we'll talk about that in the coming days. This is just about Carmelo and why, in my opinion, today's news, even if it doesn't seem like the deal is back on the two-yard line again, as far as I see it, it's a largely positive development for your Rockets. So with that, I'll leave things there. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll be talking schedule a little bit more in the coming days.